Good morning. If you will, please turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 3. In our study in the book of Ephesians, we will be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 13 this morning. It's part of personal testimony of the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. Now, we have come to praise God and to hear God and to enjoy God. So let us do that by praying that through His Word read and His Word proclaimed, we might see Him clearly. Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the privilege that is ours to come this morning to open Your Word, to open our hearts, and to ask that Your Word, by Your Spirit, would melt our hearts and draw us near. Father, speak Your truth to us that we might see its riches, enjoy its wisdom, and delight in Your glory. Father, now bless us. Give our hearts attention to You. Give our minds attentiveness to Your Word. Give us, Father, focus that we might see, hear, and claim the promises of Christ as our own. For we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. It was Charles Spurgeon who once time said, "Master Whitfield and Wesley, two great evangelists of the day, Masters Whitfield and Wesley might preach the gospel better than me, but they cannot preach a better gospel." You ever fear sharing Christ with another? As it were, taking the corporate preaching to personal preaching and taking it to somebody. Do you ever fear, "I am not good enough to do this"? You know what? You're probably right. There are those who can do it better than you again and again, right? There are those who probably can share the gospel better than you can in the lives of others. But I think Spurgeon is so instructive for our hearts this morning. God doesn't hold us to the standard of what we can do. He holds us to the standard of what He can do. And here's the truth. There are those who may preach the gospel better than us in daily life, but there is no one who can go forth with a better gospel. Oh, that's what encapsulates the ministry of Paul, enthralls the heart of Paul, that he has this great truth of Jesus who has died and risen for sin is to be made known to the world. Now, last week we started this passage. It was a passage where we saw Paul acknowledging the privilege of knowing the mystery of Christ. Christ who saves us from our sin. Christ who is going to the nations. This week he turns our heart, as it were, to the privilege of making Him known. Not only are we to know Him, the goal of the gospel is to make Him known. There may be those who may speak the gospel better than we do in their understanding, but there is no one who can speak a better gospel, for God has perfected it in Christ. And the mystery is that God is taking that to the world. Jews and Gentiles of every stripe, color, and personage, Jesus is calling to Himself to build one church. Now hear the Word of God as we read this account of Paul to the church at Ephesus, a church that he loved dearly. "Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the purpose of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." God brings us this morning to the call of unity, which calls us to extend the love of Christ. When I was a kid, my favorite cartoon was Peanuts. I loved to read the Sunday paper, and it was in the heyday of Peanuts, and so that was always the first one I read. I loved Snoopy. I loved Charlie Brown. I even liked Lucy and Linus. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite ones was a story primarily of Lucy and Linus. Linus was in the living room watching TV one afternoon when his sister, when Lucy walked in and said, "Change the channel." To which Linus said, "What makes you think that you can come in here and demand that I change the channel?" She held up her hand and said, "These five fingers, together, individually they're not much, but together they form a weapon that is a terror to behold." The next caption, Linus says, "What channel would you like?" The next caption, he is leaving the room looking at his fingers and said, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" Now, I want to make a serious point off of a good cartoon there. You know, the church ought to be to the world a weapon that is a terror to behold in our unity. Not because we go to batter people with the gospel, but because God goes forth showing the beauty of the gospel in the unity of the church. That unity that Paul has spoken of in chapter 2, here in chapter 3, and will be the theme into chapter 4, is what drives us to care about the hearts of others. Because God has given us this trust, the trust of the gospel which changes our lives. He gives us this trust to take a gospel to the world in need of Christ. You see, there is a unity there. You can say, one by one, we're not much here at Westminster, and that would be true. But together, in God's hands, we are a weapon that is a terror to behold for the glory of God. Now, that's more than TV channels. I realize that. But there is a purpose to our life in Christ. A purpose in the change that God brings in us, and the purpose in the change that God brings in the culture through instruments like us. It's Paul's understanding that he has this privilege, the privilege of knowing Christ and the privilege of making Christ known. You know, here's the problem with many churches, with many Christians today. We tend to organize our lives in a pecking order. You know, we have an inner circle, right? Those who can be close to us, those that we would keep outside. It's amazing what the gospel does. Here's the mystery that Paul is expounding, is that God has opened the inner circle of the family of God and says, "Come, you come. You who lack it all. From coolness to whatever the cultural norm is today, you come." Jesus changes people. He draws in those of differing economic, ethnic, all kinds of status to bring them into His family. It's the goal of the gospel. And Paul realizes that God has given him this gospel to proclaim, that considering the universal need for the gospel, God has brought one particular answer to all our need in the gospel. You see, the universal need of mankind and his sin is settled by the one solution of God in the gospel, the coming of Christ for us. And it's interesting here because the church becomes Exhibit A for the grace of God. The mystery of Christ, the exploring that mystery ourselves, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and extending to others the beauties of Christ. Who is that entrusted to? Look down at verse 10. Verse 10. "So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers in heaven." This church service is graduate school for the angels as they take awe in the fact that God saves sinners. But it is school for our heart as well, because God would bring us and remind us that we are to be Exhibit A of the wisdom and beauty and riches and goodness and truth of God. It is that draws us together, that we celebrate Christ, the Savior of sinners. Now, isn't Paul the most unlikely man to be extending a mystery, to opening up a secret to people's hearts? Here's a man who had tried to strangle to death the church in the crib of its infancy in Acts chapter 8, trying to destroy the New Testament expression of the church. And what does God do? God changes his heart, and he goes from being a persecutor of Christ to becoming a prisoner for Christ. And that's the context of our passage. He doesn't want the church to fear his imprisonment because he knows it's for the gospel and for the promotion of the gospel. He is compelled to share Christ in every aspect of life, and he would compel us to share Christ. And so this is my question for us this morning. How do I get to the place where I am compelled to share Christ? Not only that I think I ought to and feel guilty when I don't, but how do I get to the place where I feel compelled to live the light of Christ in the world so that it just naturally exudes from my pores, that people see Christ through the life that is lived in us? Three things I want us to see this morning. First, I want you to understand that revealing the mystery of an unveiled truth, that Paul sees his goal is to reveal the mystery of an unveiled truth. You see, God is revealing his saving mystery to the world through the church. And he is revealing the mystery of unveiled truth. Look back there at verses 7 through 9 again. Of this gospel. Now, he's expounded that gospel for us, right? Paul gets personal here for the first time in chapter 3. For two chapters, he tells us what is the wealth of Christ, what is the beauty of redemption and forgiveness of sin and adoption and the calling of our election. And now he reminds the people that he's talking to, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. God's grace saves. God's grace empowers us to serve. Both occur here. And notice here, that which was revealed to him, he will share. Notice there in verse 7, that which was given to me by the working of his power, to me, to Paul, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. What's Paul telling us there? Is that he has a message of truth. And it's not a message of speculation. It's a message that was revealed to him. What had God done? Verse 7 through 9, he had given a messenger. He had revealed himself to Paul so that Paul could reveal Christ and the goodness of God to others. It wasn't a message of speculation. It was a message of revelation because it was God's truth. Now, if we're ever going to share Christ well, we've got to set our hearts on that. That God has unveiled a truth. He has unveiled it to us, and he is unveiling it to others. And there's our hope. Not that we can work people into the truth, but that God's truth is true, and God works in others. You know, I think some of us look at sharing the truths of Christ, revealing the truth of Christ, much like one of those log rolling contests. You ever see those on TV? I know, you got to stay up late at night like I do to see that kind of thing. It's the only time it makes the sports channel. But you know those guys up in the Northwest who stand on those logs and run around until one of them falls off? You know, I think some of us think sharing Christ is much like that. We got to get the higher ground, and it's all about the fancy footwork, trying to keep on the log while the other guy falls off. But that's not what it's like at all. Sharing the love of Christ is not trying to prove that we know more than the other person. The goal of the gospel in sharing it is not to win the argument. The goal of the gospel is to win the person. God's goal in truth is for souls to embrace him. And God is sharing truth. It is a truth that is unveiled. And God is at work. Here's good news for us in sharing the love of Christ. God is at work. And I don't have to have sleight of hand. I don't have to have fancy footwork. I just need to bring before people the truths of Christ and let Christ work. Here is the gospel truth that Paul has embraced. That privilege that has been made known to him, he will make known to others. Why? Because he has been given the ministry of proclamation. Matter of fact, he would say to you, church of the living God, he has given to you the ministry of proclamation, of unveiling the truths of Jesus for his glory. How do we do that? Well, in our speech, in our action, in our heart, in our life, we seek to make Christ everything. And people begin to ask about that truth. What's different within us? You see, God's truth always holds the high ground, and it promotes the work of Christ to the world, in the church, to the world. One time, the great conductor and musician Toscanini was performing a concert, and as he was leading, the crowd that sat listening to the concert was enraptured by the beauty of the music, and they were wildly enthusiastic, and they began to applaud. And so after encore, after encore, after encore, the orchestra kept playing. At one point, finally, the applause died down after a song, and Toscanini looked at his orchestra, and he said to them, "I am nothing. You are nothing. Beethoven is everything." You know, if we're going to proclaim the truths of Christ, we've got to get out of the way. What we've got to realize is that Jesus is everything, isn't He? In the embracing of the gospel, in the proclamation of the gospel, in the receiving of the gospel, in the explaining of the gospel. Yes, God has given us a task that we are to explain, to know the gospel well enough to explain it, to where it embraces us and we embrace it and it goes forth from us. That's why I want you to take away this truth this morning. The gospel contains a revealed truth to be explained. You know, this is probably the third time in the last 6 months I've called you to share the gospel. Why? Because we are a Great Commission church, right? We're serious about God's command. And He said, go therefore and make disciples. But if we're going to do that well, that means we got to understand the gospel, exegete the gospel in such a way that we understand it and we can explain it, right? And that means two things for you today here in Bryan College Station, that you must be able to exegete the gospel. What I mean there is you must be able to understand it and explain it, embrace it, understand it, explain it, and you must be able to exegete the hearer of the gospel, which means you need to understand them. You even need to understand and be able to explain their view. You know, the gospel is one truth for all in need of Christ. But there's not a one-size-fit-all way of sharing the truth of God for Christ. Now, it always includes what? The person and work of Jesus appropriated by faith. Now, that is the hallmark of the gospel, right? Jesus lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died. And that is received by faith. That is the core of the gospel. But there are many people who have questions, defeaters in their heart and their mind, that they just can't get to that point, right? And so there's a richness to the gospel. I will tell you this. Nobody objects to the gospel purely on intellectual means. There are always personal and social constructs in their life that help defeat the gospel. Mary and I, a guy that we're sharing or looking to share the gospel with right now, all of a sudden we've been trying to share truth and he's just been rebutting it. And all of a sudden he told about an instant in his life that really is the defeater of the gospel. Really, he's mad at the church. He feels like the church failed him. And if the church failed him, then God must have failed him. Now, there's a truth of God, right? There's a truth that we all have a common shame through the fall and through our sin. We are distant from God. And that we can have a common share in Christ, but we receive new life. But you've got to understand the gospel, what God's truth is, and you've got to understand the person that you're sharing Christ with to really hit the heart. See, the gospel explanation that Paul would bring to us is that there is a mystery that is opened up for people to see, and that God is at work even through us. And His Spirit is at work to save people around us. And so grace leads us to a humble but holy boldness for the truth. You know, you live in a world where there are 6 billion people that are out for number one. And yet the goal of the gospel is to make us a people who are out for Christ as number one. And so this is my question for us this morning. Who needs the gospel truth? In your world, let me ask you, who needs the gospel truth? Well, you do, right? If you're in Christ this morning, you need the gospel. It's not ABC is the gospel. It's A to Z. All of your life is gospel. That's what it means to be claimed by Christ, right? So we need to rehearse the truth with one another. We need the gospel. But in your world, in your sphere of influence, there are two categories of people that you should be seeking to understand, embrace, encourage, love, and share the truth of Christ. There are what I would call the people who are unreached. We tend to think of those as distant. Let me tell you, there are plenty of unreached people right here in Bryan College Station. They can spell Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, but that's about as much as they know about Jesus when it comes down to it. They're unreached for the gospel. But then there are those in our community that are underreached. What I mean is they have enough inoculation to the gospel. They sit probably in a pew just like you do somewhere in this town this Sunday morning, but they hear something social. They hear a do-gooder gospel. Go and be nice to somebody this week. You'll feel a lot better. That's a little offensive to some, isn't it? But there are many churches around us that preach that. And I'm not so confident in myself. You know why? Because there's one person's sin I can't get away from. I can hide from y'all. I can hide from your sin, but I can't get away from mine. And here's the truth. Jesus comes week by week to answer our sin problem. In the gospel, on the cross, he answered that sin problem, right? And we're to take that to those who are unreached. Those who may have heard the name of Jesus but don't know the person, the work of Jesus. We embrace them, learn them, love them, share with them. But I will tell you, I've been here almost 5 years now. There are a lot of underreached people. And they need to hear the truths of Christ that spur them on. You know why most people are bored in church? Because they don't get the gospel truth, which Paul comes and says is what? It's the riches of Christ. Not just the riches of Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ. We'll get there in a second. Everybody you know needs the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so I'm asking you to diagnose the relationship that God's given you. You know, he's given you relationships that he hasn't given me and won't give me. You know, it's not the pastor who does evangelism. It's all the five fingers, right? Together, we are a force to be reckoned with. Why? Because God has called us to share, to understand the people God's called us to, and to share the beauty and the love of Christ. Okay, wait, I see who. We can classify those who know Christ. Let's celebrate Christ together. We can see those who maybe have heard something that's not truly Christ's gospel. Let's extend to them greater love in Christ. There are those who may be able to spell the name but don't know the essence of Christ. Let's lead them to truth. But how will we do that? Well, the gospel message, as profound as it is simple, isn't it? It begins with God and who He is and us and who we are. God, who is creator of all and holy, and we who are sinful and in need. So the gospel necessarily starts with bad news, and then it leads to good news. The worship, I've told you at Westminster, our goal is to start with the greatness of God so we can understand the bad news and then celebrate the good news. The bad news, you are a sinner in need of grace. The good news, Jesus has answered the sin problem by taking His sin, our sin, excuse me, that was heresy, by the way. I saw my wife stand up, I knew I was in trouble, but I think she's just taking my daughter out. Jesus never sinned, okay? It's not, Jesus took our sin as His sin, that was what I was trying to say. On the cross, He took what was ours, though He did not deserve it. He took the punishment and the wrath of God for us. So that we could take that which is His to be ours, the righteousness of Christ. Good news overcomes bad news. And that's the celebration that you'll never plumb the depths of it. It's the unsearchable riches of Christ that is expounded to us again and again. In Romans 11, we're told we can't plumb the depths of the riches of Christ. Unsearchable are His judgments, but they're ours. In Christ. What is Jesus is mine. Why? Because Jesus has me. That's something worth proclaiming. How? Need answer. How? Problem solution. How? Bad news, good news. Study them both, beloved. And then look at your world. Exegete your world. You will find there are people who are in need of Jesus. And exegete the gospel, you will find that it meets your need and the need of everyone in your sphere of influence. beloved, we need to see that the gospel contains revealed truth that is to be explained, and that's what Paul has given his life to. Not only that, he is reminding us as a church, that is what we are to give our life to. We have a truth entrusted to us to share. You know, there are people who are unconverted or unconvinced here this morning. Let me say, I'm glad you're here. And what I've just shared with the congregation of believers, I mean to be true for you. God means to be true for you. God made mankind with a purpose to relate to Him. God made you with a purpose to know His love. And so wrestle with the bad news and the good news. And if it's not clear with you, ask me afterwards. I'll spend all afternoon with you to share the truths of Christ, or turn to the person who brought you. They will do it. And if they won't, come tell me. I'll come help them do it. Beloved in Christ, if you're not convinced of the truths of Christ, let's start an open dialogue. That's what God would begin for us in the world, open dialogues that rest in the truth of Christ as we reveal the mystery as He is going forth with His open secret. First, revealing the mystery of unveiled truth. Secondly, in our text, in verse 8, particularly in verse 8 there, revealing the mystery of unsearchable riches. Notice there in verse 8, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God. Now here's what Paul had that was new. The church wasn't going to be territorial. It wasn't going to be one ethnic group. The church was going to expand globally. In Paul, in the apostles, the church was going worldwide. And in that, when the gospel was going worldwide, when the ministry and work of Jesus was to go worldwide, it was the message of sharing the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's a really interesting term there, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That word unsearchable there means unable to track out. For you hunters in the room, you can't track Christ in His goodness to His end. It is so deep, it is inexplorable. It is so wide, it is infinite. It is so monumental, it is inscrutable. The truths of Christ cannot be brought to an end. The riches of Christ cannot be brought to an end. There's enough there to satisfy us all in the riches of our Lord. You see, we will never plumb the depths, never get to the end of the riches of Christ. What are those riches? Well, Paul's been expounding them, right? First and foremost, they're Christ Himself. But it's the riches of His gift as Son that is given to us as sons and daughters in Christ that will enamor us for an eternity to be near God, redeemed, forgiven, adopted children of the Most High. Incalculable riches that will lead us. And you see, the gospel does the work. The church is the repository of the riches and grace of God, but it's the gospel that does the work as we are strengthened in worship. We extend to the world and witness for the glory of God so that the riches of Christ dwarf our distant differences in unity. You know, Paul wants us to have a unity so when people see the church, they see something lovely. Why? Because Jesus is lovely. And that when people see the church, they see something lovely, and they see believers who are Christ, and they see something in Christ in them, and they see that believers are lovely. See, it's a unity in the truth and in the riches of Christ that lead us to seek Him. Why? Because the Father changes and uses and molds and makes us through the riches of Christ that we might delight in Him. We have access to the Father through the Son. Therefore, we have access to the riches of Christ to share with others. During the Civil War or the war between the states, depending on your vantage point, there was a man during the height of the war, a father who sat outside the White House. He sat on the bench. He couldn't get anyone to listen to him. He had been trying to get in to see the president. He was sitting on that park bench in tears. Walked up to him a young man. A boy, really. And the boy said, "Mister, what's the matter with you?" And the man, not having anyone to tell his story to, just spilled out his guts to this young boy, telling him of his son who was about to stand before a firing squad for desertion. He had had a tough time through some instances. He had deserted his post. And this man, this father, knew if he could only speak to the president, maybe he could save his son. And the boy looked at the father and he said, "Follow me." Brought him right up to the gate. This man had tried to get through the guards at the gate, but here the boy said, "He's with me," and walked right on through. To the man's amazement, he followed right on. Walked right into the White House, rocked right into the room where Lincoln was taking counsel with his generals and advisors. The boy plopped down in his father's seat and he said, "Dad, I brought a man. I was talking to him. He needs your help." Short time later, the president pardoned the son because the father had been brought to the father by the son. You know, that's the riches of Christ for us. The beauty of the riches of Christ is that we come into the presence. Notice there down later in the book, how do we come? We have a boldness because we have access with confidence through our faith in Him. We come with boldness with access. Why? Because we come in and through the Son. You see, the gospel contains revealed riches that are to be explored. The world needs this kind of believer. The world needs the kind of believers that's so intoxicated with the riches of Christ, he just spills over with them. She just spills over with the truths of Christ. That we need to be those who are not hoarding, but willing to share the riches of Christ in the world of God. You know, sometimes people will ask me, "Where do I start, Wade? Where do I start with sharing the gospel or in the context of our ministry? Where do I start with sharing the riches of Christ?" And my answer is always the same. Start where you are. You know, most of us, if we would open our eyes, we have unbelieving friends, family members. We have a network of relationships that God is already building to bless them through us as He brings Christ. Start where you are. You know what? Begin to pray about the people and places that God has put you. You know, God didn't put me in the physics department at A&M. Or He didn't put me in a certain neighborhood here in Bryan College Station. He put me in a certain place. And so I'm looking and expanding the network of relationships there. You look there. And then your goal is, as you learn people, as you love people, as you walk with people, is not to be a gospel bully, but to be a gospel midwife. You know, for some of us, we think sharing the gospel is I got to force my way in, right? I'm going to come in. I got you, man. Oh, I think I did rip his shirt. I owe him a new shirt here. But, you know, we think that we take over. That's sharing the gospel. Send me the bill, brother. The truth is, though, that our goal is not to be gospel bullies, where we tell another what they need. We don't coerce others in the gospel truth. You know what we are? We're gospel midwives. Our goal is to look at where the Spirit is at work. A midwife doesn't create birth, right? A midwife facilitates birth, comes alongside in birth, helps in birth. And that's the goal of the gospel, right? Regeneration to be new. New life to come. And so really, what we are to be looking for is where God is at work, and then we join Him at work as gospel midwives, facilitating the truths of God in sharing the riches of Christ. You see, beloved, here's our goal as believers in Christ, to reveal a mystery of an unveiled truth, the truth of Christ in His work for the world. Revealing a mystery of unsearchable riches, of showing people the wonders of Jesus that satisfy all. Therefore, we're not motivated to share Christ by guilt, but by wealth, that we are satisfied in the Savior. But lastly and thirdly, I want you to see, not only are we to show truth and riches, that there is a call for us revealing a mystery of unrivaled wisdom. Why do we share? Because it's the truth that matters, and God's wisdom is wiser than the world's wisdom. Look, you live in a world with all kinds of religions, right? But you live in a world with only one true religion. You live in a culture, in a world that's sending all kinds of messages about how to live a better life. There's only one true message of life eternal. You live in a world that has an answer for everything, and many of them destroy. But God is making a world where all things are made new, and where the gospel transforms. It's the manifold wisdom of Jesus Christ. That word there, manifold, is a multifaceted beauty. It's like looking at a crown jewel and becoming intoxicated in it, because you can turn and see its beauty from many different angles. That's the wisdom of God. The wisdom to be embraced. The wisdom of God that is given for us. As I said before, it's the graduate school for angels. Even they marvel at the goodness of God in saving people. But it is a boldness that sustains us in the hard times and the good times. You know why? Because God didn't save you into an isolated relationship with Jesus. God saved you into a redeemed community, into His purposes and His people, to embrace Jesus and to share Jesus. In His wonder and wisdom, in His beauty and genuineness. There's the beauty of our call this morning. Don't lose heart. Amidst the diversity in this room sets our unity in Christ. For those who are in Christ, we have this truth, this common share, this common beauty of the gospel. Christ who died for sinners to redeem, save, and save, and save, and save. To the delight of God and the delight of His people. You know, we don't have to be experts who expert the expert. We need to be witnesses who tell the truth. Y'all know who the actress Billy Burke was? You may not know her name, but you've seen her when you watched her as the Good Witch of the North, right, in Wizard of Oz. One time Billy Burke was on a cruise, a transatlantic cruise across the ocean. She sat in the diner, and she felt a sudden sympathy for a man who was sitting next to her. She could tell that he had a really bad cold, and she walked over to him and she said, "Are you uncomfortable?" And he said, "Why, yes, I am." And she said, well, let me tell you what to do. Drink as much orange juice as you can. Take two aspirins. Go back to your stateroom. Get all the covers you can. Get under it and sweat that cold out. You'll be better. I'm Billy Burke from Hollywood. I know what I'm talking about." The man looked at her, very generously looked up at her with as much smile as he could muster, and he said, "Thank you very much. I'm Dr. Mayo of the Mayo Clinic." You know, there is this feeling that we gotta outshuffle people, but that's not true. We just gotta bring them to the expert of all experts, God Himself. And the answer to all answers, Jesus Himself. We are the one who introduces. The Spirit is the one who does the work. And we delight in that. When is the wisdom of God embraced? It is embraced when the Spirit is at work. Our goal is not to appease men, but to please God. So when do we share? We share when God is at work, when people are asking good questions, when we've understood them. It is time to bring the truths of Christ. Why? Because Jesus is in life-changing business. Our hearts tuned to Him. Naturally, will be changed in the world around us because God is on the move and God is at work. Beloved, embrace the gospel. Paul calls you to it this day. Love Jesus in His riches to the glory of God in the power of the Spirit. But take that into your world. You don't have to be a bully. Just look for where God's at work and share that truth. Because God loves sinners more than you do, I guarantee it. And God is at work. He gave His own one and only Son, not merely to redeem me and you, but to redeem a nation of people unto Himself that is without number, and we join as instruments in that work. It's the mystery that's being revealed. Are you revealing the mystery of Christ? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the privilege that is ours to come to You this morning. and in the service of worship to be reminded of the gospel, the good news, that we may go forth gospeling, sharing the good news. Father, we pray that You would penetrate our heart with Your love and the atoning sacrifice of Your Son, so that we might be a people who lived marked by the blood of Christ in the world around us. Father, we come to Your table asking of you that You would show us the riches of Christ, that we might partake and be satisfied. That as we are raised in our position of being in Christ to the heavens, we might delight in Your goodness of grace. Father, change us. Mold us, make us. Not a fearful people, but a people of wonder in the love of Christ. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.